My Beloved Masters, composed by Srila Bhakti Vigyan Bharati Goswami Maharaj. Shishimad Bhakti Swarup Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj, the messengers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vani. Once Guru Maharaj, then known as Shri Hayagriva Brahmachari, Shri Bhakti Swarup Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj, then Shri Siddha Swarup Brahmachari, and Shri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Siddha Goswami Maharaj were invited to preach at a 3-day spiritual function in Salet, East Bengal, now Bangladesh. On the first day in his address, Shri Siddha Swarup Brahmachari made use of very straightforward but harsh and immoderate words while establishing the superiority of teachings of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over the popular Mayavad philosophies prevalent at that time. He referred to Vivekananda, whose name means one who takes bliss in having intelligence, as V. Vivekananda, or one who takes bliss in being ignorant, and to Ramakrishna Paramahansa as a Ramahansa, or a large but worthless swan. Upon hearing these epithets, many residents of Salet became irritated. That night, leaflets were published and distributed all over town, denouncing the Gaudiya Math and demanding the cancellation of the function. The event faced such great opposition that the next day, Shri Hayagriva Brahmachari met with a convener, the district judge, who expressed his concern about safety and advised us to cancel the remaining 2 days of the function, just to rule out the possibility of any undesirable incident. Shri Hayagriva Brahmachari assured the judge that the speaker who had used incendiary words the previous night would most definitely not be speaking again, and that only he and Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj would address the audience. The judge replied, "It is on your assurance alone that I will allow the function to continue. I will make all the necessary arrangements for providing increased security, but please be mindful of the content of your Harikatha." The next evening, the venue was filled with antagonistic objectors. Shri Hayagriva Brahmachari was the first to address the crowd, and he began by praising the hospitality of the Salet people. After he finished his speech and established his objective, he conceded the podium to Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj. During his presentation, Srila Maharaj said, "Our Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, has taught us that in our preaching, we are delivering the message of Swayam Bhagwan, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Himself. Our only purpose in coming here is to deliver, through fearless yet fair speech, the Vani, means the teachings that incessantly flow from Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, as it has been presented by Srimad Mahaprabhu and our line of Guru Varga, such as Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Jeev Goswami, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and others, who make up our Bhagavad Parampara. We are not here to preach with the apprehension and shyness of a lady hiding her face behind a veil. What to speak of the philosophical doctrines of personalities like Sri Shankaracharya, Jaimini, Patanjali, Kannad and so on. The ideology manifested by Swayam Bhagwan Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is unparalleled and vastly superior to the ideologies established by even the previous 4 Vaishnavacharyas, Sri Ramanuja, Srila Madhvacharya, Sri Nimbaditya and Sri Vishnu Swami. Through his teachings, he has highlighted the shortcomings of such doctrines and has conclusively defeated all erroneously fabricated philosophies. Therefore, in our presentation of Srimad Mahaprabhu's ideology, how is it possible that ideologies of persons like Vivekananda, Ramakrishna Paramahansa and Bhandarkar will not be contested? Moreover, we are simply messengers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our duty is merely to deliver his teachings. If anyone in this assembly has any objections, he may kindly address them to Srimad Mahaprabhu, Srila Vedvyas or Srila Rupa Goswami. Although we have unflinching faith in their Vichardhara, means the line of ideology, we will undoubtedly surrender to any person who can present an ideology superior to that presented by Sriman Mahaprabhu. But if such a person is not present in this world, what intelligent being would be unwilling to follow or feel uninspired by such a highly auspicious spiritual path as one described by Sriman Mahaprabhu and his followers? Sriman Bhagavatam has clearly described Sri Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. Ete chams kala pumsaha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Sriman Bhagavatam 1.3.28. All these avatars are either plenary portion or portions of plenary portions of the Supreme Person. But Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Furthermore, Krishna himself has stated in Bhagavad Gita that he is the ultimate object of surrender in such verses as Sarva dharman paritajye mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarapapebhyo mokshyami ma shuchah. Srimad Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Completely abandoning all dharma, take shelter of me alone. I will free you from the reactions of your sins. Do not lament. Man mana mad bhakto madiyaji mam namaskaru mam evayashi satyam te prati jani priyasmi me. Srimad Bhagavad Gita 18.65. Offer your mind to me, become my devotee, worship me and offer pranam to me. By this you shall attain me. I swear this truth to you because you are dear to me. Ananyas chintyo mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nitya bhuktanam yog shem vahamyaham. Srimad Bhagavad Gita 9.22. For those who are devoid of other desires, who are always absorbed in contemplation of me, and who always worship me, I personally carry their necessities and preserve what they presently have. Therefore, what benefit is there in accepting the ideology of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, who advocates the worship of devatas, demigods? Such worship is averse to Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.14, which has firmly established Yatha taror mul nischanen tarpanti tad skand bhujok shakaha prano aparancha yathendriyanam tatheva sarvahanam achutta jaya. Just as pouring water on the root of a tree nourishes its trunk, branches, leaves and sprigs, and as giving food to the stomach nourishes all the senses and bodily limbs, all the demigods are automatically worshipped when one worships Sri Achyuta Bhagwan. The philosophy of Vivekananda is Jivya Prema Kare Jai Jan Sei Jan Sevyeche Ishwar. One who has love for living entities actually serves the Supreme Lord. However, we see that his followers kill and eat animals, and we must therefore conclude that in this slogan, the word Jiva as used by Vivekananda refers only to human beings, but the true meaning of the word Jiva refers to all living entities. You should all deeply consider these points. There is no need for us to say anything further. You are all free to make complaints against any imperfection in our methods of delivery, but you must know for certain that the philosophy we have presented remains immaculately pure at all times, without the slightest trace of contamination. After Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj concluded his speech, the audience responded with thunderous applause. Indeed, they were truly pleased, and they requested that the organizers extend the function for an additional 15 days. In this way, the preaching of Sriman Mahaprabhu's Vani in the city of Sylhet was a great success. As Sylhet was a city renowned for its good quality lime, the residents, in their appreciation, arranged for a wagon load to be used in the service of whitewashing the walls of Sri Chaitanya Math, the temples at Yogpit and other buildings in Sriman Mahaprabhu's Sridham Mayapur. Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj was accustomed to speaking in a forthright manner that some may have found unpalatable, but he never presented anything other than Shrautavani, the teachings descending through the Bhagavad Parampara. This was appreciated by the authoritative personality Srila Sridhar Gosai Maharaj, his senior godbrother, who defended the content of his junior godbrother's speech that day in Sylhet, proclaiming the truth. Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj was considerably bold and straightforward in his lectures. He would never hold back when refuting others' mistaken philosophies, nor would he attempt to avoid confrontation by speaking indirectly. Because of his impartial nature, he spoke in the same manner publicly as he did privately. Once while preaching with Sri Srimad Bhakti Vivek Bharati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Maharaj, then Srila Siddha Sarup Brahmachari, very forthrightly and unambiguously established the supremacy of pure bhakti over any and all pseudo-devotional religions included within the proverb Jatamat Tatopat. There are as many paths to attain God as there are ways to see Him. And that this popular slogan amounts merely to Mishrita Bhakti or mixed devotion. Needless to say, a number of people were greatly perturbed by this assertion and they began to oppose the Gaudiya Math. When Sri Kunji Bihari Vidyabhushan Prabhu, the secretary of the Gaudiya Math, related this event to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said, "While the scriptures affirm that Siddha Swarup Prabhu has spoken the truth, the harsh language he used should never come from our mouths. Be that as it may, his words have spread our message to such a large group of people that it would have cost us 1 lakh rupees otherwise. For this service, I will award him a Shri Gaur Ashirvad certificate." Footnote: a certificate conferring the blessings of Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and grant him the special title Vidya Vagisha, which means the best orator of true knowledge. Write that down, Vidya Vagisha, and reserve it for him. His appreciation of my determination. Once, due to the carelessness of railway baggage handlers, the hand of one of the uninstalled deities of Sri Radha Krishna, I had sent by train to be installed in a mutt in Krishnanagar, was damaged. Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj was present when I received this news, and he asked me, "What will you do now?" "I will first seek compensation from Indian Railways," I replied. "After that, I will decide how to further proceed." He advised, "You should give up any hope of receiving compensation. It is very difficult." Then, as he spread his arms wide open, he said, "Trying to get money from Indian Railways is like trying to fish it out of a hole as deep as 7 times the distance between my palms right now. It would be better to solicit a devotee for funds and have another deity made quickly." Ultimately, I decided I must at least make some effort to collect our rightful compensation. After investigating a great deal of energy into the matter, I eventually managed to pressurize Indian Railways to reimburse us for the cost of uninstalled deities, and after some time we received the payment. When I notified Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj of this success, he said, "You have made it back from the house of Yamaraj, death himself. Only a determined devotee like you is able to protect the wealth meant for the service of Bhagwan." Gifting me a nursing coach. One day during the time I was dealing with a lawsuit to remain the tenants illegally occupying the appearance place of Srila Prabhupada in Puri, Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj approached me with concern for my well-being. With the affection of a guardian, he said, "I will have a nursing kocha made for your protection. You must wear it at all times. You have no idea what harm these people might do to you." Sure enough, some days later he brought me a nursing kocha prepared by his godfather, Shripad Krishna Kesha Brahmachari. When he gave it to me, he showed me his arm which bore a nursing kocha and said, "Look, I too wear one." Although I accepted the nursing kocha he gave me, I faced an internal dilemma about whether I should wear it. I thought it over and concluded that if I were truly surrendered and if all my efforts were intended purely for the service of Bhagwan, then indeed no one would be able to cause me the least bit of harm or even so much as bruise me as long as he wishes to accept my service. Furthermore, since Bhagwan is the one accepting my service, the responsibility of my protection lies with him alone. Why should I independently endeavor to protect myself? For this reason, I was unenthusiastic about wearing the nursing kocha. However, since it was affectionately given to me by Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj, I always kept it with me. To this day, it is stored safely in my closet. When we eventually won the lawsuit, Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj told me, "You have snatched this meal right out of the tiger's mouth." "Maharaj," I replied, "what capacity do I possess to snatch a meal from the jaws of a tiger? It is by the power of Srila Prabhupada's disciples such as yourself, by your good wishes and mercy, that we have become instruments in fulfilling our Guru Pad Padma's desire." Srila Maharaj then said, "Maintain this kind of submissiveness is the key to gain rightful and eternal entry into Vaishnava Dharma." Under the guidance of Guru Maharaj, a huge festival was organized at Srila Prabhupada's appearance place in 1978 to commemorate his Vyasa Puja. At that time, Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj was the first to donate toward the construction of the math there. As he handed me 1,000 rupees, he expressed his happiness and bestowed many instructive blessings upon me. His appreciation of Shiva as the greatest of Vaishnava. I had the great fortune of accompanying Guru Maharaj a number of times to festivals at Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj's various maths. Instead of inviting a great number of devotees all at once for a function, Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj preferred instead to invite a few devotees at a time. The prasad he served during those small events always consisted of the best ingredients. Once, while showing Guru Maharaj the deity of Shivaji he had installed in his mutt in Sri Jagannath Puri, Srila Maharaj explained, "Although my name was previously Shiva Shankar Day, I always disapproved of the worship of Shiva, deeming him to be a demigod in the mode of ignorance. But now, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I have realized that it is impossible for one to obtain the grace of Vishnu without first obtaining the mercy of Vaishnavas. That is why I have built this temple for Shiva, the topmost among all Vaishnavas. Perform or perish." The land Guru Maharaj has acquired in Kolkata for establishing Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math included an old one-story building that needed to be raised in order to construct a new building. During the building's demolition, Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj visited the site. After observing us in our work, he asked me, "This place has been beautifully built with the most exquisite materials, like Italian mosaic flooring, Belgian glass windows, and even the door and window frames are made from top quality Burmese teak wood. Yet, you are knocking it all down. Are you out of your mind? Why don't you simply construct levels on top of the already existing building? When Madhav Maharaj arrives, tell him that Siddhanti Maharaj visited this site and has advised against demolishing the building." I personally conveyed Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj's message to Guru Maharaj, who asked me, "If your goal is to throw a stone at this nearby door, how will you do it?" In response, I mimicked softly tossing a stone with very little force. Guru Maharaj then asked, "Now if you intend to throw the stone somewhere far, how will you do it?" I then mimicked throwing stone with much greater force. Guru Maharaj concluded, "Similarly, the higher we aim, the better our efforts to achieve our goal will be." Upon reaching a country he wanted to attack and conquer, Napoleon would either burn his ship or intentionally sink it, boldly signifying to his soldiers that their only option was to perform or perish. When he ordered his army to cross over the Alps mountain range, most of the soldiers were dumbfounded and said, "It is impossible." Napoleon replied, "The word impossible exists only in a fool's dictionary. When a person is left with no other option but to act, he makes his best efforts to accomplish his goal. But if he is given the slightest leeway, he thinks endlessly without acting. It has been rightly said, necessity is the mother of invention. Therefore, demolish that building so that we may be compelled to act and construct for ourselves a place to stay. Moreover, we need a much bigger hall for Harikatha and Kirtan, even if it is only a tin shed without opulent decorations." While Guru Maharaj's words filled my heart with great energy and enthusiasm, I also understood Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj's concern for the protection and preservation of something beautiful that could be used in Krishna Seva. Although these two godbrothers had different views, I was able to grasp the depth of their relationship, and I knew in my heart that Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj did not feel the least bit offended that Guru Maharaj did not adhere to his advice. After the construction of the Kolkata branch of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math was completed, Srila Siddhanti Gosami Maharaj attended the inauguration festivities. When he inspected the Kirtan Hall and the quality of its construction, he appreciatively noted, "You have done a great job. This is fantastic. I only mentioned you should not demolish the previous building because I thought you did not have enough funds to create something as beautiful as this." Publishing Gaudiya Vaishnava Scriptures. Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj published an unprecedented edition of Srimad Bhagavad Gita with a Rasik Ranjan commentary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Gita Bhushan commentary of Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, and his own Anubhashya commentary. He also published a few Upanishads like Isha, Katha, Mandukya, and Gopal Tapani Upanishad with his Tattva Kana commentaries, as well as the three books Sri Ujjwala Ninmani Kiran, Bhakti Swami Sindhu Bindu, and Bhagavat Amrit Kana. He also rendered tremendous service to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya by publishing Vedanta Sutra in Bengali with Sri Baldev Vidyabhushan Govind Bhashya commentary and brief commentary thereon, along with an assisting explanation of his own called Siddhant Kana, which he fortified with references from Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj endeavored tirelessly to publish this particular book, and his godbrother, Sri Srimad Bhakti Bhudev Shroti Gosai Maharaj, offered extensive assistance in proofreading. Whenever a new book was released, Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj would hold a festival and say, "Just as Srimad Bhagavatam is verily the divine form of Bhagwan, the literatures that have been written in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam and further endorse the doctrines presented therein are non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam and are therefore just as worshipful as Bhagwan himself. It is only fitting to commemorate the divine appearance of such literatures in the world by organizing a festival, spreading the teachings of Bhagwan's pastime through dioramas." Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur engaged his disciples in performing Kirtan of Vishuddha Chaitanya Vani, the Immaculate Message of Sri Chaitanya, by publishing and distributing countless spiritual books, newsletters and magazines, as well as by sending Nishkinchans. Footnote: one who accepts Sri Krishna as one's only possession. Preachers to various locations. Although most people could grasp the concept this publication and Vaishnava preachers presented, there were still many who could not. Concerned for the welfare of such persons, Srila Prabhupada, whose heart was always full of compassion, granted them the wonderful opportunity to understand the pristine message of Sri Chaitanya Dev by organizing Shat Shiksha Pradarshanis, exhibition that involved beautiful dioramas and displays along with appointed representatives to explain the various spiritual teachings they depicted. These exhibitions were organized and led by such stalwart Vaishnavas as Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Gosai Maharaj, Sri Srimad Bhakti Hriday Van Gosai Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj. In addition to the exhibitions, silent magic lantern films produced by Sri Srimad Bhakti Prasun Bodayan Gosami Maharaj were also presented. Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj gave this conceptual legacy of Srila Prabhupada a permanent form of expression when he unveiled in his merch many sculpted dioramas of instructive pastimes from Krishna Leela, Rama Leela, and Gaura Leela. These dioramas were highly beneficial as they simultaneously communicated profound concepts to the general public and brought numerous pastimes of the Lord to the minds of well-informed devotees. His Samadhi Pastime. A few of Srila Prabhupada's sannyas disciples, namely Srila Siddhanti Gosami Maharaj, Sri Srimad Bhakti Vivek Bharti Gosai Maharaj, Sri Srimad Bhakti Surit Paramarthi Gosami Maharaj, and Sri Srimad Bhakti Prapan Dandi Gosami Maharaj, were not interred with Samadhi burials. Instead, for whatever reason, they instructed their disciples to cremate their divine bodies. Sometime after Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj's body was cremated, his disciples established his Pushpa Samadhi at his mutt in Sri Jagannath Puri. After deeply deliberating on the subject, one will come to the conclusion that there is no difference between a Vaishnav's Mool Samadhi or Pushpa Samadhi, because the body of a Vaishnav and the articles related to him are non-different, purely transcendental and equally worshipful. On behalf of King Pratap Rudra, Sri Nityam Prabhu repeatedly requested Sriman Mahaprabhu to award his darshan to the king, but the Lord firmly refused. However, Sri Nityam Prabhu convinced him to at least bestow a set of his used clothes upon the king as an alternative. Upon receiving those garments, King Pratap Rudra treated them as non-different from Sriman Mahaprabhu and accorded them the greatest honor and respect. Just as Sriman Mahaprabhu's clothes are non-different from himself, the divine body of his realized devotees and the items they use are similarly not different from those devotees themselves. Such objects remain equally worshipful and worthy of respect even after they enter Nitya Leela. The actions of our Guru Vargas are not to be questioned. Once after the disappearance of Srila Siddhanti Gosai Maharaj, I attended a festival at his establishment in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt and Asan. There Sri Mukund Pandit, a disciple of Sri Srimad Bhakti Vichar Yayavar Goswami Maharaj, was closely inspecting the deity of Sri Vrinda Devi that had been installed there. Pointing to her nose ring and the other ornaments with which she was adorned, he asked one of Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj's disciples, "Who had this deity of Vrinda Devi made?" "It is our Gurudev," the devotee replied. Sri Mukund Pandit further inquired, "Has she been manifested in accordance with the specification of scripture or simply by some sort of fanciful imagination?" The disciple innocently responded, "Our Gurudev would have been able to better explain, I do not know. Although I generally never commented on anything unless requested, I considered that in this case, to remain silent would have put me at risk of committing an offense." For Sri Mukund Pandit had voiced doubt about a deity installed by my Guru Varga, Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj. Therefore, interrupting the conversation, I asked him, "Panditji, is it proper to harbor doubt even after learning it was a recognized authentic Vaishnav who installed this deity? Could such an authoritative personality like Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj ever do anything unauthorized?" "The truth is, Srila Maharaj has manifested this deity according to the descriptions found in Sri Vrinda Devi Ashtakam composed by Sri Vishnu Chakur Thakur. Bimba dharoti vara mandahasya nasagra mukta dyuti dipritasi vichitra ratna bharana shriyade vrinde numaste charnar vindam." "O Vrinda, your countenance is especially radiant, illuminated by the gentle smile rising on your bimba red lips and the pearl on your nose. Your beauty is enhanced by various jeweled ornaments. O Vrinda, we offer pranams to your lotus feet." I concluded, "It appears you have never read this Ashtaka attentively." Sri Mukund Pandit fell silent and I felt satisfied for having rendered some service to Srila Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj. Sri Srimad Bhakti Swarup Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj, composed under the editorship of Sri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, an effulgent gem. Almost all of our godbrothers are, one by one, making their grand departure to join our Sri Guru Pad Padma, who has long since entered the eternal pastime of the Lord. Each and every one of these godbrothers embodied extraordinary and divine specialities. It is impossible to find anyone who can fill the void they have left. Thus, the Gaudiya Vaishnava community has gradually become thoroughly deprived of its precious jewels, and our worshipful Siddhanti Maharaj was once such effulgent gem. His great service to the Gaudiya Vaishnava community. The most worshipful Prabhupada had a special desire to publish and circulate Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya Srimad Baldev Vidyabhushan Pad Sri Govind Bhashya commentary on Vedanta, as well as the Isha, Kin, Kath, Prashan, Munduk, Etrin, Tetri, Chandogye, Brihadaranyak, Shvetoshad and Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Complete with Anvaya means word for word translations that follow the sentence structure. Pujya Bhai Siddhanti Maharaj dedicated himself to fulfilling this cherished desire of our most worshipful Shri Srila Prabhupada, and thus, by accomplishing this great service for the Gaudiya Vaishnava community, he became a recipient of Prabhupada's profuse mercy. Accepting Srila Prabhupada's shelter, Pujya Bhai Maharaj appeared in an aristocratic devotee family in the Barishal district of East Bengal on 22nd October 1906, on the fifth day of the waxing moon during the holy month of Kartik. He first came to the lotus feet of most worshipful Shri Srila Prabhupada in Kolkata in January 1924. In March of that same year, on the auspicious occasion of Shri Gaur Purnima, he received Maha Mantra and Mantra Diksha initiation from Srila Prabhupada and was given the name Shri Siddhu Swarup Das. A life of dedication. Being completely captivated with Krishna, he joined the mutt at a very young age when he was still in school. However, according to the desires of his parents and elderly family members, he was ordered to return to his home and finish his studies. After quickly completing his schooling, he returned to the mutt sometime around February of 1928 and to the utmost degree dedicated his life to the service of Sri Guru Pad Padma. A distinguished speaker, Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas under Srila Prabhupada's guidance were immensely pleased by Sri Siddhu Swarup Das's sincere service efforts. As tokens of Sri Guru Pad Padma's pleasure, he was awarded the Sri Gaur Ashirvad titles Updeshak, means instructor, Maha Updeshak, great instructor, and Vidya Vagish, master of knowledge and speech, by the Navdeep Pracharani Sabha. As a brahmachari, he accomplished expert senior Tidandi sannyasis like Tidandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Pradeep Tirth Maharaj, Tidandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Vivek Bharti Maharaj, Tidandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Maharaj, and Tidandi Swami Bhakti Hridayavan Maharaj to various places in Bengal, Bihar, Odisha, Madras, Andhra Pradesh and West India. He also preached in many places with Nitya Lila Pravesh Param Pujya Pad Tridandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Dait Madhav Maharaj, who during the manifest time of Sri Srila Prabhupada was known as Vagmi Pravar Shripad Haigi Brahmachari Prabhu. Gradually, by the grace of Sri Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, he emerged as a distinguished speaker. Those members of the aristocracy who were earnest and appreciative became deeply attracted to his fearless and potent expositions of the proper verdicts of scripture. Although he was severely opposed by several narrow-minded atheists who interpreted his words as an attack on their interests, he never hesitated to expound the truth, which dispels the goal of illusion in accordance with the ancient tradition of those who have heard it from an authoritative source. For this reason, he became the recipient of the most worshipful Prabhupada's profuse mercy. Presenting the essence of the scriptural teachings. In 1941, Pujya Bhai Siddhu Swarup Brahmachari Prabhu accepted sannyas from our godfather, Sri Bhakti Vigyan Ashram Maharaj, and adopted the name Tridandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Swarup Siddhanti Maharaj. In each of these three mutts, the pujari devotees worship unprecedentedly beautiful deities of Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Radha Govindaju. Additionally, the walls are adorned with striking depictions of Sri Gaura Leela, Sri Krishna Leela and Sri Ram Leela that capture the essence of the scriptural teachings. Simply by viewing these depictions, earnest viewers receive the fortune of accumulating much knowledge of the proper verdicts of the scriptures. These descriptions remain on display even today. But since Pujya Pad Maharaj is no longer to be seen, viewing them simply causes our hearts to drown in anguish. Kripa Kori Krishna Mor Diya Chilo Sangha Swatantra Krishna Ichha Hailo Sangha Bhanga Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita Ant Leela 11.94. Mercifully, Krishna gave me his association By Krishna's independent will, our exchange has ended. Excerpts from articles published in Sri Chaitanya Vani, Year 25, Volume 11.